If you'll keep your Bibles open to the scripture reading that we had earlier in Psalm chapter 19, we're going to come back and revisit that this morning as we begin our lesson entitled Restoring the Soul. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. While you're turning there, let me say what a privilege it is to be with you today. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I appreciate the men and the members of this congregation inviting me to come be with you for a series of lessons as we talk about God's Word and how it will help us with our minds. And so I'm so thankful for the opportunity to study with you this week. What a great group this is. I have connections and acquaintances with this group that go way back, and it's certainly I'm looking forward to enjoying the time together with Sherry and I being with you in your midst this week. In the summer of 1985, I stood behind this pulpit, if you can believe that. I don't know if it's the same one or not. I didn't carve my initials anywhere, so I'm not sure, but I had a summer preaching program with Abe Martin and David Brown. And I was here during the summer of 1985. And I know some of the older brethren, the Wilmoths, and maybe a few others were here at that time. But I was green behind the ears. I didn't know a lot about God's Word. I hope I know a little bit more now, but I was just getting started back then. I'd been preaching maybe 1 year before that and was here for a summer program. Every few weeks, I would go up to Livingston, the Livingston congregation, and preach for them as well. So I have that connection with the brethren here. We've known Jesse and April Flowers for years. His mother is a dear friend of the Reeves family, going back to our family even before I was born. And Charlotte Flowers is a very dear woman, and she raised a good son. Of course, you know that Bonnie's my niece, my brother Steve's daughter, Bonnie Forrest, and we appreciate Todd and Bonnie. It's good to be with them again and see their kids growing up. Jason Gentry and Clarissa, it's good to be with them. I had a meeting in Waverly, Tennessee in 2015 and got to know his parents a lot better, but I appreciate the Gentries. And his brother, John, and I study the Bible a lot by phone. John enjoys studying God's Word. A lot of times we'll study together on different things. And so there are some connections here that I appreciate, and I'm looking forward to these series of lessons. Our lesson this morning, Restoring the Soul, is fundamental and foundational. And the point that I simply want us to get today is this. It's just a simple reminder, and I believe it's the place to begin. And that is that God makes each and every one of us. And not only does He give us a body, but He also gives us a mind. And if God gives us a mind, He's going to help us take care of that. God is not going to give us anything and then not also give us the help to take care of that. And it's just a simple reminder that I want us to begin with as we begin these series of lessons. Rather than jumping right into some other things where we want to know the answer to depression and anxiety and stress and things like that, we will get to that. But I wanted to lay a foundation and a simple reminder that God gives us our minds and our bodies, and He gives us the help in His Word to take care of our minds and our bodies. And I wanted to begin this morning in Psalm 19, a very familiar passage to all of us, and we sing about it, and we just sang about that. This is the great psalm on God's world and God's Word. The first six verses tell us about God's world. Verses 7 to the end of the chapter tell us about God's Word. And in Psalm 19, in verse 7, I want you to notice the connection, brethren and friends, this morning between God's Word and our minds. Notice the text says that the law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. I want you to notice the connection in your Bible between God's law and soul. There's not a disconnect there. God's law is meant to restore our soul. Restore the soul here is not just simply become a Christian. It's involved in that. But anytime my soul, my spirit, what's on the inside of me, which is my mind, my heart, anytime that that needs restoring, where I need help to get back to a point that is better, look at what's going to do that. What does the scripture say? The law of the Lord does that. God gives us His word to help us with things that are on the inside of us. Look at the next statement. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. If I need wisdom, if I'm struggling with an issue and I need to better know how to deal with that, I need some wisdom to take me from being simple-minded, where I don't know some things and I can be hurt, to being more mature, what is it that does that? The testimony of the Lord. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. There's a lot of sadness today. You may have heard that with the COVID virus, the people being shut in and locked in and not going to work and not going to school and all those kinds of things, people were having mental health problems and people were more sad and people were more depressed. Look at what the scripture says. If I want to have a heart that is rejoicing and happy, what is going to do that? The precepts of the Lord. I just want us to be reminded today that things that involve our minds, and whether we're happy or not certainly involves the mind, whether we're wise or not certainly involves the mind, whether we're enlightening the eyes, that's not the physical eyes, that's the eyes of your mind or the eyes of your heart, your perception, how you view the day. Where is that enlightenment coming from? The commands of Jehovah. Do you see that? The fear of Jehovah is what's going to make me clean and pure and right. The ordinances of Jehovah are true and righteous. If I want to know what's true, we live in a world where the devil's making it harder and harder to distinguish between truth and error. So if I want to know what's true, what's going to do that? Well, the ordinances of Jehovah. I just want us to be reminded this morning that God is the Father of our spirits. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. God is the Father of our spirits. Your parents, young people, your parents give you your physical body. But do you know who gives you your spirit? God gives each child in the womb, when he or she is conceived, God gives each child a spirit. Did you know that? Your parents gave you your body. God gives you your spirit, and that's what is connected to your mind and your heart. And if God is the Father of our spirits, He's going to help us take care of that spirit that is within us. So this lesson this morning is simply a basic reminder that God gives us our mind and He gives us the help to have a mind that is proper and right with Him. Somebody says, I was talking with a group of preachers back in the spring about these lessons, and we were talking about this next point. Is mental health new? Is mental health new? Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 4. Do you know that God has helped mankind all through the centuries and even the millennia? Thousands of years going all the way back to Cain. Do you remember when Cain and Abel offered up that sacrifice and God had respect for Abel's sacrifice because it was done according to faith? Hebrews 11, 4. But the sacrifice of Cain was not according to faith, and so God did not accept his sacrifice, and Cain gets angry. Verse 5, and Cain was very wroth or angry, and his countenance fell. That's his mind. Do you know that anger is up in your mind? Whether you're angry or not, that's up here in your mind. So what did God do with Cain? Well, I don't have any connection to the mind, so I'm just going to let Cain deal with that on his own. Is that what the text says? The very first case of what we call mental health is Cain. He's angry. He's upset. And God says, why are you angry or wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? Look at the therapy. We're so used to that word today. If you do well, shall it not be lifted up? You can change this. You can get out of this. You can change this. You can start doing well and you'll be lifted up again. You won't be in this angry, depressed, upset state that's going to lead to a problem. You can get out of that if you want. You'll be lifted up, and if thou doest not well, sin couches at the door, and unto thee shall be its desire. But do thou rule over it. Cain, you can change this. You can rule over your spirit and your mind, and you can take hold of this right now and fix this thing. But we know the story, don't we? He didn't. Notice that he had a choice. Notice that. Notice that mental health has to do with choosing things, choosing to be happy or angry, choosing to do right or choosing to do what is wrong. But notice that God steps in. And God has always done that. Well, Cain chose not to handle this right, and he ended up killing his brother, right? God has always wanted to help mankind with their mind, always. And it's still the same for us today. Human nature is the same today as it was all the way back then. And if someone is experiencing negative mental emotions or feelings, such as anxiety and depression, and wanting even to take their own life, and addiction and grief, God is willing to step in and help you with that. The Bible addresses these very things that are hurting individuals today. And not only does the Bible address these negative things and tells us how to get out of that, and Lord willing, Tuesday night, we will be talking about some of these popular, I call them the six big negative things. We're going to talk about some of those things. And we're going to talk about how that God helps us to get out of that. But not only does God help us to get out of the negative things, but I want to challenge you, brethren, this morning with a question. Can you name one true, positive, beneficial piece of counseling that is not already mentioned in the Bible? Can you name one positive, beneficial piece of counseling that is not already in the Bible? You go home and think about that. If somebody says, well, I want to help somebody with their addiction or their anxiety or their stress, when they go to give them some counsel that is actually true and beneficial, I can find it in the Bible. I don't think you can name one positive, beneficial piece of counseling that is not already in the Bible. Stop and think about that. So what does that tell us? That tells us that in our modern day society, we've got to get back to this. Now, while we're on that point, I'm not going to make these caveats every lesson, so I hope that you will try to remember them. Now, I might make them again tomorrow night if we have visitors. I probably won't mention them again this evening, but let me mention a few caveats before I go any farther. We're going to focus this week heavily on the best psychology book ever written, okay? And that's it right there. The absolute best psychology book ever written. You're looking at it right there and you're holding it in your hands, okay? We're going to focus on that this week. But I want to mention a couple of caveats. First of all, I'm not saying this week that it's right or wrong to take prescription drugs for a mental health issue. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying take them. I'm not saying don't take them. That's up to you and your doctor, okay? And if you believe that that is something that you need, and your doctor believes that you need that, then that's up to you and your doctor. I'm not saying take them or do not take them, because I know of brethren who take them, antidepressant drugs especially. The second thing I'm going to say is this. I'm not going to say go to a therapist or don't go to a therapist. Again, that's up to you and your doctor. But here's what I am saying. Regardless of what treatment you feel you need to get in your life, you absolutely need to, and I absolutely need to, begin with God and His Word. I make no apology for saying that. Always begin with God and His Word. God and His Word can treat you and me if we're having something going on that's problematic in our mind. I make no hesitation and no apology to say that God should always be the foundation and starting point for any mental health prescription. If you believe that you need something above and beyond that, again, that's a choice between you and your doctor. But always start with God and His Word. So this week, that's what I'm going to be stressing. I'm not a doctor. I cannot say that someone should take a piece of medicine or not. That's not my area of expertise. My area of understanding and knowledge is the Word of God. And I can tell you some things in the Word of God that will help us with mental issues today. And that's what we're going to be focusing on this week. So I say that as some caveat. Please try to remember that all throughout the week. If I don't mention that a whole lot, I wanted to say that this morning. God makes both the body and the mind. See, for example, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, that we are made in God's own image. A part of being made in God's image is to have a mind, to think. We're not evolved animals. We're made in the image of God. And when God, starting with Adam, made him, he formed him from the dust of the ground. That's your physical body. But he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. At that point, what Paul calls the inward man, the spirit, the heart, the mind, was joined with the physical body, and that's what makes us separate from the animal world. We're made in the image of God. We have a mind, a consciousness. This goes all the way back to creation, and it's the same when any child is conceived and born to this day. A physical body that is given by God, ultimately, and a mind. He is the father of our spirits, and He will take care of that. So when Jesus said that we are to serve God in Mark 12 and verse 30, we do that with our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. The very thing that God gives us, we in return turn back and give to Him in service. So if we're having trouble, and we do, we all experience these things. When we're having trouble in our minds from time to time, God is going to help us with that. Let me make one other observation again. And again, please try to apply this to each night or each service today and then each night during the week if I fail to mention it again. I want to be very clear about this point. When I make comments this week about mental health issues or someone with a particular mental health problem, I want to be very clear about this. First of all, I'm not making fun of that at all. It's very real. I'm not dismissing that. I'm not just excusing that as no big thing. It is real. It's big, it's real. And when someone is suffering from a particular problem, and it might be minor, what we call minor depression, I experience that from time to time, minor depression, or anxiety or stress, it's very real. And I'm not making fun of that. I want to be very clear about that. Okay? And number two, I'm not dismissive of that. When I talk about somebody that has this problem or that problem, I want you to understand that I'm compassionate and caring and serious. And when people do come to me, and they do, they come to Jesse from time to time. The preacher is someone who someone will come to for counseling. I've done that for years. Marriage, parenting. If there's someone that wants to talk with me this week, we can set up a confidential time to do that. But I take it very seriously, and I'm not dismissive of that, and I believe it's real. So I just wanted to say that at the very beginning. I hope you understand that. I will bring up from time to time mental health problems, but I'm not poking fun at that. God makes both the body and the mind. And what a great thing that is. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul prayed that when Jesus comes again, that our spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame. Just a reminder that we are made up of an outward physical body and what Paul calls the inward man. That's our soul and our spirit. The word soul in the Bible often is a reference to life, someone who's living, and then spirit, to that immaterial part of us that is our mind, our consciousness. Animals don't have that. So our mind is our heart, the Bible heart, the Bible mind, the Bible spirit. And all of that, Paul says, is to be found without blame when Jesus comes again. So both our body and our mind is sound and right when Jesus comes again. Also, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We need to be reminded this morning that we can and must change our minds to have better thinking. That's what God did all the way back with Cain. He comes to him and he says, "You can change your thinking. You better get on this." He chose to ignore God's counsel, but you can change your thinking. Paul says that when it comes time for our spiritual service, we are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to change our thinking. Well, what is the body of information that we use to change a person's thinking, whether it's ourselves or someone else? It's the Word of God. But notice the word transformed. And notice the word renewing. We don't have to stay in the mindset that we're in. Tuesday night, we're going to talk about depression and anxiety and stress. The top three that I hear a lot are anxiety, anger, and stress. And depression, I'm sorry. Depression, anxiety, and anger. The top three that I hear a lot. We can get out of that. We must. We've got to change our thinking. And it's the Word of God that will do that very thing. We also read in Ephesians chapter, that should be Ephesians 4, I'm sorry, Ephesians 4, 22 and 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look at that, transformed, renewed, changed in the spirit of your mind. And God's Word gives us that good counsel to help us change our minds. Christians are told, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4, later as you read past verses 22 and 23, to put off the old man and to put on the new man. What is that? Change your thinking. This is done by changing our thinking to match what the Word of God says. We're to let our minds be guided by the Spirit. Paul says, almost gives a whole chapter in Romans chapter 8 about being led by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit's words in Scripture lead us and guide us. We're to have the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the New American Standard says attitude. Our mind is given to us by God. Remember that. And He gives us the help. The Bible addresses all of our mental needs. Brethren, listen to me. We sang, "Give me the Bible." Now, do we believe that? Come on. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? When we're having a mental problem. Is our first thought, give me the Bible, or is it something else? Now, we're in a culture where it's something else completely, and the Bible's not even brought up. Now, again, let me repeat, I'm not making fun of, okay? Just this last week, I was watching a TV program, and the commercial was this. It was a drug commercial for antidepressant drugs, okay? The commercial said this, if your antidepressant drugs are not working for you, here is another drug that you take along with your antidepressant drugs, and that will help you to feel better. The reason, I'm not poking fun of that, but the reason I bring that up is this. Brethren, we're living in a culture where that is the solution to everything. And nobody is saying anything about God and His Word. That's just the fallback solution, just the quick solution to anything and everything mentally problematic is to take a pill. And it's gotten so bad now that Big Pharma is giving commercials saying, if your pills aren't working, here's another pill that will help your pills work. And I take depression very seriously, and if someone is on antidepressant drugs, even here this morning, I take that very seriously, but I also want us to think about this other. That commercial tells you, listen, that commercial tells you that even the drugs aren't working. That's the whole point of the commercial. The drugs aren't working, but here's another drug that might help those to work. It's a tacit admission that these kinds of things often do not work. And so I just this week want us to get back to something that we can all agree on, and that is, I hope, God and His Word need to be the beginning and foundational point of helping our mind. So, if I'm having trouble with stress and anxiety and depression and anger among the young people, this is the big thing that's being mentioned a lot, is my first statement, give me the Bible, or is it something else? I hope after the end of our series this week, we will be thinking, well, you know, I need to get my Bible, at least as a beginning point. Do we really believe the passage that we read a lot in 2 Timothy 3, that the Word of God is complete, that it will make us complete unto every good work? Or do we say, well, you know, the Word of God, isn't the Bible good for that, like, plan of salvation stuff? But when it comes to the mind, boy, I need something completely different. I hope this week I can remind us that the Bible is for all of our needs, all of the things that we need. And if we need correcting, which is our thinking, if we need correcting, if we need instruction, do we really believe that the Bible will do that? I hope we do. I believe we're in a culture now that has shoved the Bible off to the side. Well, it's kind of good for, like, you know, if you, the church thing or something. But mental health, that's something completely different, and the Bible can't even get close to that. No, friends. Do we really believe that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, or just most things? Do we really believe that the Bible can make us complete? Do we believe that it will give us all things? And then look at this, through the knowledge of Him that called us. I hope so, because the Bible is complete, and the Bible gives us all things. God's manual addresses not only the body, but also the mind. In fact, the New Testament was not written on two tables of stone like the Ten Commandments, but God said, I will put my laws into their mind. This is to go from pages up to here, and it's to guide our thinking each and every day. No, the Bible is not just for the plan of salvation. Young people, listen. The Bible is not just for the plan of salvation. As a young person, if I'm struggling with something, the Bible can help me with that. it's not just about the plan of salvation. It's very much about that, but so much more. I appreciate Jason helping me to print these little flyers. Just in getting ready for the meeting, it just dawned on me. I want to put together a little pamphlet, and on the inside, please get one of these. Get some for yourself. Get some for your friends. On the inside, I've just categorized the Psalms. The first category, affliction, anxiety, death, enemies, assurance from God, hope, guidance, family, forgiveness, God's word, God's greatness, God's care for His people, worship, self-esteem. That people are having trouble with that today. Just get back to reading the Psalms. Just get back to reading God's word. I'm telling you, it works. It will help you. When I was in Springfield, Tennessee, in the adult Bible class, I wrote Bible class material for 75 of the 150 Psalms. Maybe, Lord willing, I can finish those off. But I'm telling you, in going through the first 75 Psalms in detail, verse by verse, and an intricate, detailed study, I am telling you, all of the major things that we have trouble with today, it's all there, it's all covered there, whether it's David or somebody else has gone through this before, and they talk about how to deal with it. We've got to get back to the Word of God. So I would encourage you to pick that up. But whether it's the Psalms or anywhere in God's Word, get back to the Word of God. God wants to help you with your mind. Turn back with me to that great chapter in Job chapter 38 when God begins to answer Job, and he's talk about somebody who was struggling with mental health, not only physical health, but mental health. And he's got anguish and anxiety and care. And one of the ways that God comes and helps him at the end is not really even to talk about his suffering, but to talk about the greatness of God and that God is in control. And this Job 38 is that great chapter where God talks about how that he's in control of all the animals, and then he's in control of the weather and the animals and that type of thing. And look at what he says in Job chapter 38 and verse 36, these rhetorical questions that are all answered with, well, God did this. Who has put wisdom in the inward parts, or who has given understanding to the mind? It's a rhetorical question. God has. And God will help us. If there's something negative in there, He will help us to get it out of there. We're going to talk in one of our lessons in this series that is very simple. God wants you to have a happy mind. The devil wants you to have a sad mind. It's just pretty simple. And we'll talk about that in a future lesson. But God wants to help us with our mind. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. What is one of the great prophecies of Jesus? How would Jesus be described? And this is not taking a passage out of its context in any way, because the Hebrew word here, translated counselor, means just that. Someone who is wise to give advice and help. And how is Jesus described in that great prophecy? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do we believe that? Jesus is our counselor. Somebody says, I need to go to counseling. Not making fun of that. Fine. I get counseling from individuals from time to time. But who are we going to go to? We'll talk about this, Lord willing, Wednesday night. There are some who are going to worldly people. Not all of it's bad, but some of it's bad. Some worldly counseling is bad. Jesus wants to counsel us. Do you know the Bible addresses the heart and the mind and your thoughts? You can get your concordance, young people, on your phone and just do a word search on heart and mind and thoughts and reason and spirit. The Bible deals with all of that. Do you know the Bible addresses the following topics? Addiction, adversity, anger, anxiety, death, depression, despair, doubt, enemies, fear, grief, guilt, sexual thoughts, shame, sin, stress, suffering, temptation, being troubled, worrying. There are Bible verses for all of those. And we've just got to be reminded of that. You see, the Bible is not just about the plan of salvation or the church. If you have had those things in your life, or if you currently have those things in your life, the Bible can help you with that. And I've had some of those things in my life. I'm not exempt. I'm not some special superhuman being that has never had problems with mental health. We all suffer, if nothing else, from mild depression from time to time. Or maybe it's stress or anxiety or worry. Or dealing with the death of a loved one. I've lost both of my parents and my oldest sister. But I've got to turn to God and His Word for help. And as we'll see Wednesday night, Lord willing, I can also turn to my brethren. But on the flip side of that, do you know that the Bible addresses positive feelings like assurance and confidence and compassion and zeal and forgiveness and hope and joy and rejoicing and love and mercy and peace and self-esteem and self-worth and a host of other positive principles? Look at the passage in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Look at some things that deal with the mind. First of all, Jesus is our counselor. He can give us advice and guidance. But notice that we need a God in our life, and we need a Father, someone who cares for us. That's how it's being used with regard to Jesus there. He's not God the Father, but Father in the sense of someone who cares for children, someone who has a family. And then notice at the end, He is Prince of Peace. That's what many people want today. Their mind is not at peace. They're all out of sorts about this and about that. And Jesus can give peace of mind. You can actually put your head on the pillow at night. This is not some fairy tale. This is actual, and there are godly brethren here who will amen what I'm saying about this. You go to bed at night with a sense of comfort and consolation and contentment and peace of mind because you're a faithful Christian. There are older godly brethren here, I know for a fact. I've had them tell me this before. They wonder why the younger generations are struggling with mental health issues. They're telling me, the older brethren are, I'm not struggling with those things because I've always been raised that whatever comes up in my life, God will help me with that and God's Word will help me with that. So this week, brethren, we're going to focus on the fact that God and His Word needs to be the starting point to help us. So with regard to some applications before we close, first of all, if you need to become a Christian and be baptized into Christ, do that. The biggest way to have peace of mind is to get that sin washed away in baptism. Because we're walking around with the guilt and the weight and the shame of whatever that sin is. I told a lie to my parents or lies. I stole something. I've said a bad word. I've taken God's name in vain. I've looked at something on my phone or online that I shouldn't have looked at. Whatever it is, I've got that sin in my life and I've got to get that washed away in baptism. That's just the starting point right there. Become a Christian. If you need to do that. And as an erring child of God, if you need to return to Christ, do that. Because I absolutely cannot get help with my mind if I'm walking around with the weight of sin and guilt and shame. The starting point is to have that washed away in baptism or to come back as an erring child of God, and the brethren here would be glad to pray for you. That's just an absolute starting point. And I'm going to end every lesson this week with that point. Beyond that, I cannot stress enough daily Bible reading. And young people, if you do have a phone, please get something like YouVersion, a good Bible app. If you feel like you got to look at something a lot, why not Scripture? We are going to talk some this week about social media and our phones and things like that. We'll do some of that. But I cannot stress enough reading your Bible daily. Please do that. I was raised on reading the Bible every morning after breakfast growing up. I'm sure some of you have implemented that with you and your family. When our kids were younger, we did that a lot at night, right after supper. Whatever it is for your schedule. For my parents, it was every morning right after breakfast. One time, the bus was coming down the road. And I said, "Dad, I can hear the bus. I've got to go." And I was getting up out of my chair. He said, "Sit down. Where are you going? Sit down." I said, "I can hear the bus. I got to go." He said, "You sit down. We haven't read this portion of Scripture yet." He said, "We'll worry about that other later." I sat back down and we finished reading, and he took me to school in the car. But it was a law in our house. We've got to read the Word of God every day. And I beg you to do that. Whatever it takes. And by the way, some of these things that we're going to be talking about, and I want to close every lesson with some practical, real-life things. If some of these things are new or we've not done them a whole lot, you can do it. It'll take a little while. Any habit, they say, to form a new habit takes about 30 days. It's not going to happen all at once, but I beg you to start doing some things to help yourself mentally. I'm doing things. My wife is doing things. We'll talk about some more of these things even more as we go along. I want to close with some practical things. I don't want it simply to be theory or just general principles. So please read more of your Bible each and every day. The elders at the Warfield Boulevard Church encourage us to read every day. And we have a daily Bible reading count on Sunday mornings. Raise your hand if you read the Bible every day this week. That's not to show off. It's just to sort of remind us each week of that importance. Please read your Bible every day. And if you want to start somewhere, read the Psalms. Go to bed at night. Can I encourage this? I have a nightstand beside the bed, and I have a little New Testament there, and it has the Psalms in it. Can I challenge you to do this? Can you, right before you go to bed, can you read the Bible a little bit, say a prayer, and then go to sleep? And then in the first thing, when you get up in the morning, read a little bit of the Bible and say a prayer. Just try that. Now, if we've not done that before, it's going to take a while, but you can develop that habit. What a great way to fall asleep when literally the last thing on your mind was something where God was speaking to you. What a great thing that is. Pray more. Pray more. Every once in a while, I'm seeing some Christian families that they're not even praying at a meal. I'll go out, they'll start in eating, and they haven't even said a prayer. Chances are they're probably not praying for help with their mind either. We've got to pray more. Sing. What were Paul and Silas doing at midnight when they're in jail? Do you think that affected their mind? Being beaten? You think that affected their mind? What were they doing? They were singing hymns at midnight. Do not discount lightly this matter of gospel songs. Singing is not just for the church building. Let me encourage you, if you've got an iPod or a phone or whatever you want to listen to, I would encourage you to listen to more a cappella gospel songs. At home, in the car. I put up here a couple of YouTube suggestions. If you write these down, this is a group of a cappella singers. I believe they're actually Mennonite. Mennonite do not have instrumental music. They sing without instruments. And there are a number of Mennonite groups that sing gospel songs that we're very familiar with. I just jotted down a couple here. That's actually the title on the YouTube. Meditation / relaxing a cappella hymns. Whether it's that or some other group that you're familiar with, brethren or whatever. What's happening, brethren, is, and especially with our young people, what's happening is, it's not that they're not going to church anymore, they're still doing that, but all throughout the week, whether it's their phone or something else, they're being filled with a bunch of other stuff that's not spiritually minded, and it is affecting their mind. Lord willing, tonight I'm going to talk about the recent Surgeon General report on youth and social media. I'll talk about that tonight, Lord willing. But if God's Word is the last thing on our mind before we're going to bed, or a prayer, the first thing when we get up, if we're singing more, if we're listening to a cappella songs, our mind is going to be filled more with those spiritual kinds of things. I know that we can't do that when school is actually going on or when work is actually going on. But I'm talking about during those times of the day. Mother used to sing gospel songs while washing dishes. And we grew up in a singing family, a music family. Let me encourage you to do more of that. Let me encourage you to always keep assembling with the saints. This is for the older Christians. There have been a lot of times when I've gone to visit someone and they'll say, Brother Reeves, I'm not feeling well, my mind is not right, and I'm having this problem and that problem, and they don't attend. It's you might as well just kneecap yourself. You might as well just shoot yourself in the foot. You're missing out. Again, on singing, on Bible study, on prayers, on godly brethren encouraging you with a smile on their face, we've got to keep coming and keep attending and keep being here even when we're not feeling well mentally. We're going to hear something that's going to make us feel better. Jesse is going to say something in a sermon that's going to make you feel better. There's going to be a song that's going to make you feel better. There's going to be a prayer that's going to make you feel better. But I've run into people before where they're not feeling well mentally, and one of the first things that goes is their attendance. Be here every service. It will help you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Appreciate your time and attention this morning. God makes the mind, and He wants to help you with your mind. That's our foundational lesson, and we will move out from there, Lord willing, as we go throughout our series. As I said, if there's someone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel, please do that. The Ethiopian eunuch and the jailer, they went on their way rejoicing because they had a clean conscience, and that's where it begins. And that's how God wants to help you. And if we can help you and assist you in doing that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?